Okay, so let's start on page 319. Okay, we'll read it, but we're going to have to try to go fast, unfortunately, because one, two, three, four pages, but some of the pages we'll skip, so. Okay.
I was going to say,
I'm sorry.
14 really applies to that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for saying that. Okay, so maybe we'll do 14, Erev Tisha B'Av. Now, I'm going to try to send out by email. So that's page 318.
Yeah.
Page 318.
So
we'll do number, we'll do number 14.
Okay.
So we all know normally on a quote unquote, if there is such a thing, a regular Tisha B'Av. So this halakha is about Erev Tisha B'Av. There's a couple reasons. One is we don't believe that you can all of a sudden just start mourning and then we'll see also at the end. Oh, it's over, let's party, right? You know, you have to get into it. It's like an airplane. You have to take off, and then you fly, and then you land. Or I don't know if that's an exact analogy, but so
the
same.
Stars at the end of the race, they don't stop suddenly. They
right, you have to keep
while.
On going. You have to keep on going. And you also have to warm up, too, from my years of running, which are gone. Anyways, so on. So we know we have the three, for Ashkenazim. We have the 3 weeks, so there's no weddings and there's no music and there's no that. Then it intensifies more with what we have is the 9 days, which we're in the middle of. And then intensifies. And we know all the halachas that we have during the 9 days. And then, if not, you'll, Mr. Cohen, have the. Is that just 3 weeks or 9 days?
Has everything.
Both.
Has everything. Cool. Okay.
I won't take
no then.
Copies of this, I'll be clean. I'll hand it out to.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
If you give it to Mr. Kirschberg, maybe we could send it out on. You did it last year, but send it out on Amazon. Then it intensifies with Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Tisha B'Av, excuse me. Erev Tisha B'Av. So normally on Erev Tisha B'Av, now you have to understand the second base of Midrash, it began to burn on before. So therefore, there's a whole argument about when do first day the when the first base right. I mean the second base I mean Dush, like how did it all work, but anyways actually it's the other way around. It started to burn on the 9th in the afternoon, excuse me, I said corrected, but normally on Erev Tisha B'Av, so midday on Tisha B'Av, we'll get to it, we're limited in what we could learn because the ultimate simcha for a different time, the ultimate simcha is Torah. So we're limited in what we can learn because that brings us to ultimate simcha. So whatever you can learn on Tisha B'Av is what we learn midday Tisha B'Av. So we already start that midday. Also, you know, on Erev Tisha B'Av we usually have Asuas HaMaseches, which is not like Yom Kippur. It's on the floor, and the ashes, and the hard-boiled egg, and all that type of stuff, right? That's now, the only issue this year is Erev Tisha B'Av Shabbos. And we know that this is the rule, that you're not supposed to have any outward manifestation of mourning on Shabbos. So then what do we do with all the stuff that we're supposed to do on Erev Tisha B'Av? So that's number 14. Okay, so maybe we'll read that quickly. Everything we read today we're going to do quickly.
If Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, the preceding Shabbos is observed in the usual manner. One may eat meat, drink wine, etc. The only difference is that the third Shabbos meal must be completed a little while before sunset. Mm-hmm. While reciting Maariv in the synagogue on Motzei Shabbos, the leader says Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kolosh Nechol and then removes his shoes before reciting Baruch Hu. The congregation removes their shoes after reciting Baruch Hu. One may not touch his shoes with his hands during the service.
Okay, now the last line. One may not touch his shoes with his hands during the service. We discussed this halacha, right? If you touch your shoes, anytime. You have to wash your hands before you learn, make a bracha. Right? So that's a challenge. Now see, the issue is like this, that Shabbos has to be over before you take off your shoes. You're doing your shoes is a sign of mourning. Can't do that on Shabbos. Still Shabbos. So to end Shabbos. So how do you end Shabbos? So you end Shabbos by saying Baruch Hu. That means it's Sunday. Now, as we all know, that's really not enough. You're supposed to say is Havdalah, Atachlan Tanu, but Baruch Hu at least shows that. So you take off your shoes afterwards. Now, because of the touching the shoes issue, we We don't do this. We usually the custom is everybody takes off their shoes before Baruch Hu and has them on before Baruch Hu. What we're going to be doing, we'll send this out, is we're going to, Shabbos ends, I forgot what time, like 8:36. We're going to daven Maariv 8:50. So in other words, we're going to give everybody time to 8:36. Then you say, Baruch Hamad Mikol Shulcho. Right? You have to say that. Then switch clothes. Switch out of your Shabbos clothes and put on your Tisha B'Av shoes. Right? And then you'll make it back. Okay, so we'll get to it later, but in case we don't get to it later, it's very important. Well, first of all, any Motzei Shabbos of the year, you're supposed to say, if you're doing malacha, let's say you have to drive home before. Mm-hmm. So if you daven Shmon Esrei, Maariv Saturday night, so you say Atachlan Tanu, that means Shabbos is over. Mm-hmm. And you can do malacha. Now you're supposed to make Havdalah, obviously, but if you didn't, let's say, let me give you an example. I don't know if my wife davens Maariv, but so she comes, at some point she finishes Shalashas and it's late enough, so she wants to clear off the table. You can't clear off the table because you're preparing for after Shabbos. So assuming it's after Shabbos ending time, so she says, Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Once you say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, anyone, Shabbos is over. So that's what we're going to be doing. So you'll say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Then you'll change, and then you'll come to Shul Vodav Maariv. Now, I'll do it now because I'm scared we won't get to it in time. And that because it's a little while later. The issue is, what do you do about Havdalah then?
Yeah.
So the answer is, you can't make Havdalah because it's Tisha B'Av. So you can't drink the wine. So this is what's going to happen. I mean, hopefully Mashiach will come. But theoretically, this is what's going to happen. So everybody's got to come to Shul with Daven Maariv. Then it's really, so we dim the lights, right? We Daven Maariv. Then we'll light the Havdalah candle. We'll pass the Havdalah candle all around Shul. And everybody will make a Braymer Hayayish. And then use the candle. Pass it all around Shul. It's very eerie. Pass it all around Shul. Then, again, you've really said Havdalah in Shmon Esrei because everybody's there, said Atachlan Tanu. I'll remind people, say Baruch Hamadim Kosh Kol, either one. Just said Baruch Hamadim Kosh Kol before you switch clothes, so you should have done that already.
Can you say both? If you say Baruch Hamadim, you still say Atachlan.
Because Baruch Hamadim, yeah. That's right. And then we have the Kinos, and we have everything. We go through Tisha B'Av. Then Sunday night, you make Havdalah. So now you make Havdalah. How do you make Havdalah? You take grape juice. You don't say Hinei Kel Yishuasi. You don't make Braymer. Hinei Kel Yishuasi is only for Saturday night. The bracha over the spices, Braymer Nebisamim, is not there. That's only Saturday night. The spices we smell because, you know, Saturday night you lose your Neshama Yisera, that extra soul that you get on Shabbat. So it like revives you because you're losing the Nefesh Yisera. So, but that's been gone already for a day. There's no reason to smell the psalm. The fire you did already the night before. So what will you be doing? You'll be doing like a Motzei Yontif Havdalah. In other words, you'll be making a Brei Pri HaGafen or schnapps or whatever, beer, whatever it may be. And then you say the last bracha. Hamadu B'Kosh HaKol B'in Ar L'Kosh B'in Yisrael Amim. That's Sunday night. That's what's going to happen. So that's an unusual thing, but that's what happens if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, or if Tisha B'Av is on Saturday, on Shabbos, and then gets pushed off to Sunday. That's what we're going to be doing. So in case we don't get to it, because we won't have that much time, so maybe what we'll do is, to save time, maybe I'll just summarize things outside, because you don't have that much time and have a lot to do. Okay, so everybody's clear what we're doing. So getting back to number 14. So Shabbos afternoon is very strange. There's an argument brought down the Mishnah Brura whether if on this type of year when Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av, could you learn anything Shabbos afternoon? There's a disagreement about that in Halakha. Some people learn anything. Some people just learn Tisha B'Av stuff. Differences of opinion. But what's weird is what we're going to be doing here in the shul is we're going to be davening mincha early. I think we're davening mincha at 3:45 or something like that. Then you go home and eat, because then you have to eat shalosh shodes. It's preferable to eat shalosh shodes after mincha. Daven mincha early. Then you have from, say 4:15 till 7:45. You can eat meat at 7:30. I like that for weird. Right? Forget about the egg. Forget about sitting on the floor. It's not only you don't do that, it's to the other degree. You can be eating meat and drinking wine up till right before the fast begins. Now, the fast begins at sunset. It's very strange. I mean, not strange, but that's the halacha. It makes it more difficult in a way. Because at least in a normal year, it's a gradual buildup, and you sit on the floor and you eat the ashes and the egg, and you can get into it. All of a sudden, you're singing Zmiras, and you're head up, boom. I don't want to get too much into it, but we could do that, evidently. Now, so daven mincha early, then you can eat whatever you want until sunset. Sunset is around 7:45. 7:45, you can't eat anymore. Then we have that twilight zone. Then after Shabbos is over, it's 8:36, something like that. You say, Baruch HaMa'ad HaMikdash Chol, change, put on your Tisha B'Av shoes. And one of the things we can't do on Tisha B'Av is wear leather shoes. This is very important to us because today, when I was a kid, if it was Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, so you wore sneakers. Today you can't do that because the sneakers are leather. Now, you could wear anything else leather. You can wear a leather belt. You can wear a leather belt. You can wear a leather yarmulke. You can wear a leather, whatever it may be. It's just shoes. Now, believe it or not, I just saw yesterday, the day before, that Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, Zeichel Tzadik Lebracha, says that if your sneakers are non-leather, but they're really comfortable, like they're more comfortable than your regular shoes, you shouldn't wear them on Tisha B'Av. I mean, not everybody agrees with that, but the idea makes sense. So you can't wear leather shoes. Now, this is really complicated today because, like I said, a lot of sneakers are leather. You get into issues that if you get in a running shoe, like I know this, in the old days when I used to run, so a lot of running shoes are not leather. Just think, because when you're a runner, so you sweat a lot, including your feet, so you don't want a shoe that's leather. So a lot of running shoes, really good running shoes, are not leather. They're mostly mesh, at least the top is mesh, or some type of material that breathes. The only thing is that on running shoes, it might not be leather, but they have stabilizing bars. I can't describe them. Like they're leather strips, usually on the back and around the toe, and on the sides, to stabilize, especially, when you run, it can wobble. So that's a whole shiloh, because the main body of the shoe is not leather. But we asked Rav Dov Feinstein this once, and he said, if it helps in the construction of the shoe, so then you can't wear it, because then the leather is significant. If it's just the only leather that's on there, it's like the Nike swoosh, not to give any haskamas to any type of shoe, I'm just using that as an example, or the N of New Balance, just to be fair. So then if that's only, it's just decorative, then you could wear it. If the leather is purely decorative, then you could wear it. But if it adds to the construction of the shoe, you can't. So you have to really check out the shoes carefully. So also we know the other problem is, a few years ago, I say his name because I did something wrong to him. Mr. Reitschik was here. Some of you remember Mr. Reitschik. Mr. Reitschik, Tyre Yehuda, and he was sitting next to me on Tisha B'Av. I looked down, he's Kanai Nahara Tyre Yehuda, and I looked down, he's wearing shoes. I said, Mr. Reitschik, what are you? Sort of like yours, Mr. Cohn. A little darker, but similar. I looked at him and I said, Mr. Reitschik, you're wearing, it's Tisha B'Av. So he said, he looked up his foot, he said, it's all synthetic. It looked mummish like leather.
It's synthetic.
Okay, we're not getting into Marasai, and that's, uncharted waters.
Could be canvas.
Again, who knows what shoes are made out of today. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Okay, now just on 319, I'm going to go quickly. As we mentioned on Shivasa Ratamas, there are a number of things. When we have a fast day, there's usually a number of things that happen. That's unfortunately the same thing with Tisha B'Av. We know the main thing is where it all got started with the Meraglim, the spies who came back Tisha B'Av night, and the reported to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael unfortunately accepted their report. Number two and number three that happened on Tisha B'Av is the first and second temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Number four was Beitar. Beitar was a massive city, hundreds of thousands of Jews, that was a stronghold after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And on Tisha B'Av, years later, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Romans came and killed everybody, hundreds of thousands of Jews. And not only that, I don't want to get the women upset here, but they didn't allow the Jews to bury the bodies. They stacked up the bodies and made a human wall, corpses around Beitar. Not to get into it too much, but the last bracha in benching was made by Rabbi Gamliel. The last bracha, the Rabbi Nachman, was made because years later the Romans withdrew their decree and allowed the Jews to bury those people. Years later. The miracle was none of those people decayed. Hundreds of thousands of corpses. It was a miracle. You know, in Israel, the hot, you know, it's... So anyways, Beitar was destroyed. By the way, just remember, that was the Bar Kokhba fame, right? Bar Kokhba hung out in Beitar. Now this was the one that a lot of people miss. Number five is Turnus Rufus plowed the area of the temple and its environs, fulfilling the verse, I'm on page 319, Zion shall be plowed like a field. So everybody knows this. This is number five. And, you know, the simple explanation is it's the ultimate degradation of the Beis HaMikdash, plow like a field, right? Okay, and that's true. But people miss the a major aspect of that, which a lot of people have no clue about. What the Romans did was they not only plowed it over, that was the last step. But what the Romans did is they cut down the mountain. They used hundreds of thousands of Jewish slaves, of course many of them died in the project, to lower the mountain, to like degrade it, and then the final step was to plow it like a field. That's very significant, because there's a Gemara that says that where the Beis HaMikdash was higher than any other mountain. Now, if you've ever been in Yerushalayim, you know, higher than any other mountain, you looked at Mountain of Olives, the Mount Scopus, are higher than where the Beis HaMikdash was. How possible? Excuse me. So you have to realize that where the Beis HaMikdash was much, much higher. Much, much higher. In fact, I used to tell the girls in Beis Yaakov, there was an article in the LA Times many years ago, that they put a sensor on top of Mount Everest, and they found that it grows like 10 meters a year. So with that, look at it the other way. Subtract after 3,000 years, I don't know how many meters, Mount Everest grows. I mean, it makes sense from all the snow and the ice pack and everything. It makes sense. That it grows every year. So imagine that, subtract that 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and imagine how tall the Harabayas was. So this is significant, because if you realize now, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but just think about it. What does this cause? First of all, it degrades the Beis HaMikdash, but also, you know, this is classic. People look at the Gemara and say, it's ridiculous. What do you mean the place where the Beis HaMikdash was is higher than any other mountain? Okay, so you could say spiritually, whatever, but it doesn't seem that way. It seems literally. I could see it's not true. So what they say, oh, Gemara, that's a Gemara, you know. So the answer is, you don't know what you're talking about. Because the mountain was much higher. That's what the Romans did. Okay. Okay, good. Just to go to number 16, you have to remember that the laws of Tisha B'Av are more stringent than those of any public other fast, except for Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur, you have to remember, is in a different ballpark altogether, because that's from the Torah. So Yom Kippur is in a different galaxy. But besides Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av is... So therefore, like certain times, like sometimes we're lenient with other people that they don't have to fast, and then... Tisha B'Av, we try to push the envelope below. We push on Yom Kippur even more, but Tisha B'Av, as much as possible, try to get you'll fast. Okay, now he says that you have to fast from sunset to Shavuot. Now that applies this year also, right? Everything, even though it's Shabbos, it starts at sunset, right? Starts at sunset, goes till the next day. In other words, this year will be Sunday till the stars come out, meaning Shabbos ending time. So in other words, it keeps on going till like 8:30-ish. So we go 7:45 to 8:30. So it's like a 25-hour fast, right? So as I tell everybody, don't look at the clock. If you look at the clock, you're nervous. Right, that's why we have all these shiurim. That, right, that's why we came up with that idea. Because if you listen to a shiur, hopefully you'll get into it. Huh? So the time goes a lot faster. Right. Okay. You're not allowed to eat or drink at all. Right. Now, if somebody's ill, so they should ask a shaila. Obviously, that's true. Right. You shouldn't brush your teeth or rinse your mouth on Tisha B'Av. Other fast days, we allow that. If it really bothers you, not on Tisha B'Av, not Yom Kippur either. After I wash my hands, I brush my teeth every morning, right? So it's rough, right? But that's the idea. You're right, it's rough. That's what it is. Okay, we're not going to talk. Number 19. One of the things we're not allowed to do on Tisha B'Av and also Yom Kippur is wash. Now, see, you have to remember, we're going to say pretty much the same stuff we say on Yom Kippur, but they're coming from two different angles. In other words, you're going to mimic Yom Kippur, but you're not at all. That's just the outwardly. You're coming from two different places. Yom Kippur, you're coming from an angle of being an angel. Angels don't wash their hands. Angels don't do all the stuff we're going to talk about. Tisha B'Av, we're coming from a different angle. We're in mourning. It's a totally different angle. It's a totally different mindset. So a mourner doesn't bathe. So, especially on Tisha B'Av, so you can't bathe. So you're only allowed to wash your hands. Remember we learned before? When you wake up in the morning, wash Negevah, it's called till the wrist, right? Till the wrist. On Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, till the knuckles. Now, the knuckles, we mean the big knuckles. So you're only supposed to wash till the knuckles, not your hand, right? That's what you wash. We learned that when you wake up in the morning after washing Negevah, you're supposed to wash your face, right? Not on Tisha B'Av, because you're not supposed to wash. After you go to the bathroom, also we can wash, but only until the knuckles. Okay, next page, 320. Can't use soap. So you're not allowed to anoint yourself. That's also one of the things we're not allowed to do. So you can't use cosmetics, oils, soaps, any of that stuff on Tisha B'Av. Right? You can use deodorant, but you shouldn't use like any fragrance on Tisha B'Av. Now, if it's for medicinal reasons, now on Yom Kippur you can't do this for a different reason, because you're not allowed to smear on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. But if it's for medicinal reasons, like somebody has a rash or something like that, that cream they could use on Tisha B'Av. That's for medicinal reasons. That's different. But here we're talking about like pleasurable things. Again, we're ripping out all the pleasure. Mm-hmm. 21, can't wear leather shoes or sandals. So we discussed that about the sneaker, Shiloh, about what do you do with that. And 22, marital relations is also on Tisha B'Av. Husband and wife can't even touch on Tisha B'Av. Okay, 23, sit low until midday. Till midday Sunday. Then it lets up a little. So you sit low. So it's really, people don't realize it's a challenge. For me and Rabbi Goldberg, you're giving a shiur, and you don't see anybody. You know, you look out, you don't see anybody. Nobody, you know, it's like being on radio loud. You know, like nobody's there. Like you. So you see a couple of heads maybe bobbing up, or you know, but because everybody's low, so we sit low. When you sleep Saturday night, so you make it less comfortable. So you sleep with two pillows, you sleep with one, you sleep with one, you sleep with nine, you sleep with nine, I don't know what you do. Some people have a custom, not everybody does it, to put a rock under their pillow. Now you believe it or not, you know where this comes from? I think it's the Mishnah Berurah brings down. Remember when Yaakov was running away? So he comes in, he sleeps, and he puts a rock under his head. Where was that? That was the place of the Beis HaMikdash. They say he saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So he put a rock under his head. So that's where that custom comes from. He doesn't bring that down. But I don't know if people do it. I haven't taken a poll. But there's Okay? 24. We don't. It's customary. It's not usur. It's customary not to do work on Tisha B'Av till midday. Again, if you have to. See, this year, Baruch Hashem, is different Sunday, so hopefully it's a little easier. Now, what's the idea? Is not to divert your concentration from the morning, right? You're supposed, right? The Beis HaMikdash, we'll discuss, again, we got a little sidetracked. We're not mourning, we are mourning the loss of a building, but as we'll discuss on Tisha B'Av, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash had cataclysmic effects on us. Just to make it very short, too short, but the entire bloodied history for 2,000 years of the Jewish people, right? Whatever you want to talk about, you want to talk about the Inquisition, you want to talk about the Crusades, you want to talk about Khmelnytsky, you want to talk about the pogroms and all the things that were done against us, every single one of those, even today, is a direct result of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Holocaust, anything. Name it. All because of that. All because of that. Okay? So you shouldn't do anything to divert yourself. So, again, if a person's stuck, they could work, but it's really not the best thing to do. That's why we have shiurim all the time, you know, the whole day. All day in Anche, right? That's what we say.
It's because all those things you would trace back because time and place make better.
We're invincible.
They didn't realize we were valuable.
Huh?
They didn't realize we were valuable at all. Bracha comes through that place.
That's right. If they would have realized it, the Gemara says the non-Jews would have made an army protecting the Beis HaMikdash. Right? We see that Sukkos, right? All those karbanos that brought to the last day of Sukkos is all for the non-Jews, not for us. 70 animals. Okay. You're not allowed to greet somebody on Tisha B'Av. Right? So you see somebody say, Shalom Aleichem, or hello, even hello, right? You don't greet a mourner.
That's until midday. Or the
it's really
whole
the whole day.
The whole day. Yeah.
Hmm?
What do you expect?
Somebody greets you, as he says, I think he says here. You could respond in a subdued tone. Okay, number 26 is we don't study Torah. Now, he brings down the various things that we do learn, like there's Gemaras and Gittin. We make it easy for you. We give you the shirim, right? We spoon feed you here. Now, even if you learn some of these things, like the Gemaras and Gittin or whatever, you shouldn't learn them deeply. Right? You should just cursory. Okay, so he then on page 321, 27, Mariv, we daven quietly. Again, we're in the shul, we set down the lights, we take off the parochas. You know, some people do that, some people don't. You know, so we try to get you in the mood, right? Sitting on the floor, a pillow, whatever. Then we daven Mariv. We'll have Atachon and Tanu in there. Then we read Eicha and a few kinos. Not too many. Just a few. Yeah. Then in the morning, Shacharis, we don't wear a talis and tefillin. As I mentioned before, the men don't wear a talis and tefillin because, you know, like we in our society relate to this. I've discussed this before. Uniforms, right? A merchandising of sports teams are the big thing, right? To get an authentic Laker jersey, somebody told me, it's like $250, $300, $400. You know, it's like just the jersey, forget the pants. So, tefillin, lahavdil, that's what it is, literally. Talis and tefillin is a uniform. It's, you know, for women, it's tznius, that's what, right? But for men, it's talis and tefillin. So you don't wear don't get this. You don't wear talis and tefillin on. There's a whole discussion about do we wear the talis katan, right? The small. Because you can't make the bracha. What?
Because you can't make the bracha.
Right. So it's different. We do and we don't make the bracha on it. That's our cut. Don't say tachlon. That's the second. Now, this is really interesting. Of all days of the year, you think you say Tachlon, you think Tisha B'Av would be right there with Yom Kippur. But both those days, you know. Yom Kippur is a Yontif, right? That's why I talk about that in Yom Kippur. There. You know, we mix up Yom Kippur with Tisha B'Av. Yom Kippur is a yontif. Tisha B'Av is a sad day. So then the question is, why aren't we saying Taklum? So the answer is that we see Tisha B'Av in Eicha is called a moed, Kiru Alai Moed. It's an appointed time. So what that means simply, that means that Hashem designates, we know from what we discussed before, from when they were in the desert already, Hashem said, I have my calendar marked on this day that you're going to get hammered on that day. Right? You're going to get hit on that day. So it's a set time. A moed is a set time. But the literal explanation of moed is a holiday. So therefore, since it says that, so therefore, we don't say Tachlon on Tisha B'Av. Now, again, you can imagine, I don't want to get into it that much, but there's a deeper idea here. That is, in the darkest moment, there's a ray of hope. Right? The Hashem tells us this will be a moed. This day will be a happy day. That's Hashem said. So it's very interesting, you know, of all day. So that's when you're sitting there and you're crying and you're thinking and you're talking and you're and all that type of thought and you're getting really depressed. So then what Hashem said, don't say talking. Don't say talking. Very interesting idea. So what do? We wear the tallis and tefillin at mincha. And mincha, midday, it's about 1 o'clock. I think it is 1 o'clock. Chatzos, that's when things let up a little. Things like, we put the parochas back on. Right? It's a very interesting psychology, chazaraton, right? The gradual decline into the depths and then gradually take you out of it. So midday we start letting up a little. So we put on tallis and tefillin at mincha. A mincha could be early, a half an hour after midday. That's 1:30. And right, we're going to have two minyanim. 1:30, people putting on tallis and tefillin. You could sit in a regular chair. We say nachem at mincha and shemon esrei. Okay, which talks about Hashem beginning to console us. Right, it's slowly coming. Yeah. Okay, anything there? No. Now that brings us to let's skip to 33. Now I'm on page 322 now. When Tisha B'Av is on or deferred to Sunday, which is this year, it's not deferred. But it is on Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday. One does not recite Havdalah Motzei Shabbos. Right? We talked about that. You don't say Havdalah Saturday night because you can't drink the wine. In this case, one recites the blessing Borei Morei Ha'esh when he sees a lit candle on Motzei Shabbos. That's what I told you before. Pass around the candle. Atacha Antan was recited during the Ma'ariv Shmoneh Esrei that Saturday night. As on every Motzei Shabbos. One who wants to do work before reciting Ma'ariv, or do not recite Ma'ariv, says the words Baruch Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol, right? Those are important words to remember. As I mentioned before, for any Saturday night, if for whatever reason, you can't say Abdul right away, but you have to do something, and it's after Shabbos ending time, so you say Baruch Hamavdo. Ah, let me give you an example. I don't know, you're crossing the street, and you want to cross over, and you have to hit the light, you know, the walk, don't walk button. So, assuming it's late enough, so you say, Baruch Hamadim and Kosh, oh, bong, right? Okay, Havdalah is recited over a cup of wine on Motzei Tisha B'Av, which is Sunday night, right? But the blessing, Borei Morei Ha'esh, Borei Minei B'Samim, are not recited, okay? Okay. So everybody got that?
And we skipped the first part too, you said.
Right, you skip Hinei Kel Yishuasi. Again, that's only said on a Saturday night. The spices are gone. The candle you did already. Now let's go back to 32. This is very interesting. The temple began burning on the 9th of Av and continued burning into the 10th of Av. So again, putting it in our terms, that would mean it started to burn on Sunday, continue to burn on Monday. Now, so there's a whole discussion that some people used to fast 2 days. We can't do that. We have enough trouble with Tisha B'Av. So therefore, some of the laws of mourning are observed until midday on the 10th. So in other words, again, we don't just, right, Sunday night say, let's party, bring out the corned beef, bring out the, right? Because that would show a lack of, it would show that you really didn't, was your Tisha B'Av really there? So we do it, and it's also a psychological that we gradually pull you out. So therefore, again, so right Sunday night, you say, okay, you know, I've had 3 weeks of this, all right, let me go. So the answer is no, we don't do that. Therefore, some of the laws of mourning are observed until midday on the 10th, which means 1 o'clock Monday. Certain things apply 1 o'clock Monday. The following things are not done until midday on the 10th of Av. Bathing for pleasure, right? Some, right? Now, again, I want to emphasize the pleasure component. I don't think we ever got back to that, did we? About 9. Bathing for pleasure. Laundering clothes and linens. Shouldn't do that. A lot of people want to get moving on that because, there's a backlog of dirty clothes. Having a haircut or shaving. That way it's till midday. Eating meat. Wait till PKD until 1 o'clock on Monday. Drinking wine. Now, for Abdullah, we drink wine. But now, as we mentioned last week, let's leave it. We didn't mention last week. Okay. These things are maybe done after midday on the 10th. So again, those things are the things we try not to do until midday Monday this year. Okay? The next paragraph doesn't apply this year. Okay? So that is very quickly, that's from record time. We started early also. Oh, so that's very interesting you bring that up, because there was a whole article a few months ago, maybe a year ago, recently, in a Frum periodical, where they had this archaeologist or engineer discussing how can the Beis HaMikdash should burn? It's made out of stone. Nice. Yeah. Nice. So Chazal answered the question.
Yes.
It was a miracle. It was a miracle, you're right. It was a miracle because Hashem wanted it down. So that's why I didn't bother reading the article. The guy had a whole engineer. I said, but I'll say Hashem wanted it down, and it went down. You know, like, forget the whole thing. You know, we're in miracle land here. So you're right. So, but it came down. And conversely, the Western Wall, right, the Kosal Maravi, should have gone down also, and they couldn't bring it down. So it was a separate issue.
It's funny, in our days, it's actually, some ways, it's getting larger, right? I used to think of, right, as being this little...
The Koso,
right.
That's before the Six-Day War.
It's going this way, and it's going that way.
No, it's more than that. If you're ever in... the Chazal say that David HaMelech made the foundation of the... whole beautiful Chazal about it. He dug the foundation very deep. He dug so deep, he hit the waters of the Tahom, the deepest waters, and then the waters started coming up, and they could have destroyed the world. He did it. There was a whole thing with Akhetel. Okay, leave that aside. So you, so you look at the, it's sort of like the, right? But you know what? You go into the tunnel on the men's side. I don't know. They don't know if they have it on the one side.
Now it's like they've
changed. I don't know. But all I know is there's a grate on the floor, and I'm scared of heights. And you look down this grate, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. They dug and dug. I can't.
Now it's even more than that. You go.
It's scary how deep the foundation. The wall goes and goes and goes and just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I mean, you see it.
And they take you, and not even knowing you can walk next to it. You go down a tunnel, and then you walk next to it.
Tunnel
you just
tours.
Walk and walk and walk.
Yeah.
And there's a shul. They carved it out of stone. You go and you go up here, and you can dive in, facing.
Where the Kodesh Kodeshim was?
It's really
cool. I know.
It just keeps going. And
it's amazing.
It's 40 yards deep, long.
Right, how do they do that?
Herodians, we can tell because of how...
Oh, you could tell which one. No, but so you look at that Chazal and say, boom, I saw Chazal. But you see, that thing is, it's unbelievable how, it's scary how deep it is. So, right? So 50 years ago, I said, But now you look at it and say, my goodness.
Nobody says
my goodness.
Nobody says that's it. This is as far as it goes.
No. They tell you that, you know, it's scary how deep it is, and they say we haven't gotten to the bottom. We can't, because... So then you realize, you know, maybe Chazal knew what they were talking about. It's incredible. It's really incredible. Okay, Meir Hashem, we should be Zohar.